Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a, I almost said game show, video game journalist and creative writer talk about video games. One of these days, I don't know why I have such a hard time saying my own job title. How are you? I'm sorry,
I interrupted. I'm good.
So today we're talking about Five Nights at Freddy's. I have a lot to talk about on this one.
I have nothing to talk about.
I can imagine. But before we talk about those things, how about some news?
Some news.
So we're starting out with...
We need a stinger.
A stinger?
Like news. You know, like the breaking news.
Yeah, the beeping noise. I think it's supposed to be Morse code.
Oh, is it?
I think that's what it's like, stat. Because, like, you know, instant news, Morse code readings, you know, stat.
Oh.
Jazz.
Okay.
I think that's where that comes from. Don't quote me.
Should we do, like, a Morse code for 42069?
420 blaze it?
Yeah. What was it you did with the scarf?
You'll have to censor it.
Okay, never mind. Let's continue with the news. We'll talk about this off camera.
Okay, so
off microphone.
First bit of news is Fortnite's been doing weird stuff lately. Mm. And I've kind of told you about this already. So, Fortnite works in seasons, and each season has kind of a theme around it.
Yeah.
Like, asteroid crashing was a big deal last time. Well, season 5 is coming up, and a lot of things have been happening in game to kind of build up hype for this new season. And in game, this has been. Dimensional rifts have been opening up in the Fortnite world. And things are getting sucked into them, like landmarks. And there's this giant crack in the sky, and that's getting bigger as well. All of this presumably leading up to Season 5. Well, one of the landmarks to have disappeared is the Statue of Durberger.
The Frisch's big boy of Fortnite.
Basically. And it's just his derpy burger head. Well, one day, this guy noticed, hey, there's an actual Durberger statue chilling in the middle of this California desert.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, whoa, that's weird. And
he went on vacation.
And then this 1950-style police car ends up in that same area. And then there's this dude who calls himself, like, Agent 1473 or something like that. Where if you try to talk to him... He just gives you a business card that says agent number and a phone number. And if you call this phone number, you hear the sound of a dimensional rift.
Oh, how do we know that's what that sounds like?
You can listen to him.
Okay.
The in-game dimensional rift.
Okay.
Well, it hasn't stopped there, even. Now, llamas have started appearing all across Europe. It's been spotted in London. There was one spotted in Bangkok. There was one spotted in, or was it Burbank? Either way, about 4 or 5 llamas have shown up. And these are the llamas stylized like the llamas you see in Fortnite. That's kind of their deal. They like to toy with this pinata llama.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
What even is Fortnite?
Popular battle royale game.
No, like, I know what it is.
Yeah?
But, like, what?
What is this?
Because
that's what I'm thinking.
What is the game? What is anything in this game? I've heard about Fortnite about nonstop since it got popular.
Mm-hmm.
I could not
tell
you.
About it.
I couldn't tell you a single thing about it. Other than that, teenage boys seem to really like it.
That is basically it. It is one of those 100 people in, one person out games. The main gimmick behind it is that you can build structures like stairs and walls and things like that. So using those two combined to make like these action-packed games. What makes it so special is that this is the first battle royale game made by a big studio, Epic Games. Epic Games are the people who made the Unreal Engine, which is an engine responsible for a lot of major titles. Gears of War, BioShock, you know, tons of them. So these are people with a lot of money to put into this new concept, and it worked for them. So now it's massive.
Okay.
But yeah, so basically what's happening is these dimensional rifts are taking things out of Fortnite and putting them in the real world. Or at least that's what the PR people at Epic Games want. Things have shown up in Fortnite, too. Like, there was a carriage, a wooden anchor that you'd see in, like, Nordic times.
Mm-hmm.
It's craziness. What's today, the 11th?
I believe so.
Season 5 starts tomorrow, which means whatever all of this is adding up to is dropping tomorrow.
I can't imagine what it could be. We had guesses last time, but this time it's
gotta
like,
be time travel.
It's out of my hands.
Like, that's what this whole thing is. It's weird time travel.
But why
stuff.
Llamas?
That's just their gimmick.
Okay.
They had a pinata llama, and people liked it, so they started putting it everywhere.
Okay.
And why rabbits, you know?
I've been asking myself that question for a long time.
Next bit of news. One of the animators for Naughty Dog, the developers behind the Uncharted series, clarified what exactly bullet damage was in the Uncharted games.
Yes.
He says that Nathan Drake does not take bullet damage. The red elements on the UI are to indicate his luck starting to run out. And then all of those quote-unquote hits are actually near misses.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this way, this perspective. I like this idea of Nathan is, yeah, he never
not
did get shot. He just got really lucky.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. I like it. Final bit of news. Minecraft has another major update.
Yeah.
They call it Update Aquatic. I don't know why. It's Aquatic Update, grammatically speaking. But they're calling it the Update Aquatic.
It sounds more important.
It sounds like a French dessert.
It's like Mission Impossible.
But I'm... Okay. That's fair. This update, it adds things like coral. It adds things like kelp.
Coral, yeah.
Coral blocks. It adds dolphins, sea turtles, other fish.
Sea turtles!
Yeah, they're adorable.
There's gonna be turtles!
It adds sunken ships.
God, I can't wait to get back on. Is it gonna be on
TV? Not 360.
God!
Yeah, you're working in... Hey, it is on the Switch.
Sad. Yeah, stuff is on the 360.
Yes, you poor thing.
All of my stuff.
Oh, no, it's on PlayStation.
Yeah, but that doesn't fix the fact that my stuff is on the 360.
Fun fact, listeners, I got a Nintendo Switch recently, I'm enjoying it.
It's very exciting.
It's very good. So, yeah, update, you can now have tridents as a weapon, swimming has been revamped, you can find treasure maps, and you go and you dig up treasure. A lot of updates, you'll have to check out thelizardrock.com. I have more details on it there.
It's very pretty, all the updates.
It does look very good. And it's on to everything but Java. The Java version won't get it until the 18th.
Or the 360.
The 360 just won't get it.
Yeah.
Or at least I'm pretty sure. You might get it. Maybe. They just didn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
It's a video game. Five Nights at Freddy's. Can I tell you something?
You can tell me whatever you want.
I would have loved to scare you before this podcast.
You almost did. Okay.
When I popped my head out?
No. When I had all the stuff set up for recording, and then you walked back into the room, and I, like, looked back into the closet to check, and then there was just...
A teddy bear
yeah. Staring
so,
at me.
I have this tiny plush version of Freddy Fazbear.
Yeah.
I'll talk about him later.
And he put the little plushie on his seat, and so when I looked back into the closet, there was a little bear in your chair staring at me.
Because, yeah, this game is jump scares.
Yeah.
And while a lot of people hate that, I like it. I don't really like jump scares, but I like this game. Because the first game, Five Nights at Freddy's, simple title, you played a night guard for a place called Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria, which was this, you know, version of Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three animatronics. Well, four. You know, Freddy, Bonnie, Chica, and Foxy. Three of them were just on stage. The game was, these animatronics are trying to come to your security booth. Because when you're there at night, they think you're an animatronic, and they see you, quote-unquote, outside of your suit, which means they're going to try to shove you in a suit, which will kill you.
Forcible furry.
Yeah! And your job is to you check the security cameras, and if they show up outside your door, you have to press a button and basically bring down these bulkhead doors to keep them from getting in.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So the first game is literally just manage your left door and manage the right door. That is it. However, with the way this game is structured, it is terrifying.
Yeah, because the flashing lights and the...
It very effectively builds on the idea of suspense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean. Like, I don't like jump scares, but I like this because this really does a good job of making it suspenseful. Even when nothing's happening, I'll look on the camera. I'll see, oh, Bonnie moved from that room over to the closet. Well, that's freaky. Or the time I pull up the camera and he's not in the closet anymore, I'm like, oh my God, where is he?
Mm-hmm.
It's really... intense.
I think it's that because I've been playing a lot of Fallout 4,
mm-hmm.
and it used to spook me a lot walking around in, like, dark subway tunnels, because everything's dark and I don't know when a ghoul or something is going to jump out at me.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the difference is, like, the fact that you can see them sometimes, so you have an approximate knowledge of where they are, but...
And that's the worst thing. They even said in the game, the area right outside your door, you can't see on camera.
Mm. Yeah.
So if you can't, so let's say you don't see them, then you have to decide, do I check if they're outside my door or do I go check if they're in a different room? Am I wasting my time?
Mm-hmm.
But then they do things like Foxy, which is he has his own separate stage. His gimmick is that he wants you to watch him because he's going to sprint towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to stop this, however, is to, you know, watch him and know when it's going to happen. If you never pull up your camera, he will just run in and show up regardless. And of course, this entire time, you have limited power. And using the light to look through your door, you closing a door and using your security cameras all use power. So you can't just close both doors and sit because you'll run out of power, which will cause an instant game over.
Yeah.
And that's the premise of this game.
Why do you have limited power anyway? Are you operating on a generator?
Game mechanic, but you know, we'll get into that later. I've got a nice little
thing. Was it explained later?
Not in game, no.
See, that's...
But it is a good game mechanic, though. Because, yeah, you can't have... You could just close both doors if you had infinite power, you know?
Yeah. That's something I've learned about Five Nights at Freddy's is, like, not knowing anything about the game, but knowing that it has, it's, the game itself is fairly simple. The fans, wanted and got a lot more lore out of it than maybe it was supposed to have.
I have right here under, like, topics to talk about, the lore mm-hmm. is just one. Because that was something I got really into for the first three games. It, like a lot of games with a lot of sequels, there tends to be this point to where the lore gets too much and I lose interest. Like Nazi zombies from Call of Duty, I used to be real into the lore on that until it hit the fifth map and I'm like, okay, I can't... Y'all just teleported to Shangri-La, I can't keep up. George Romero, you have to give him a stick.
I think about that kind of thing in terms of the Fairly Odd Parents.
That's another good example.
Like, I don't know if it ever had an established lore because I never knew it to ever, like, make chronological sense. Like, the just new stuff kept coming at it every season or every few episodes.
I lost track on season 4.
I don't even think I got past season 1, maybe. I never watched it season by season, but...
So, I want you to guess... How many Five Nights at Freddy's games there are?
5.
No.
4.
No.
6.
No.
8.
Yes.
Okay.
There are 8 Five Nights at Freddy's games, including spinoffs.
Were you just going to let me keep counting?
Probably.
Okay.
This actually, in the Guinness Book of World Records Gamers Edition, pew pew pew,
Why does that get a stinger?
I don't know. Because fellow kids. The Five Nights at Freddy's games actually won the, or broke the record for largest numbers of sequels released within a year.
Good lord, these came out in like a year?
Not all of them. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, and Sister Location, I think, were all, no. I can't remember the years itself. It was like 1, then 2, 3, 4, and then nothing. Then Sister Location, then Pizzeria Simulator, then Five Nights at Freddy's World, then Ultimate Custom Night.
I remember going to, let's see, when did, I wish you did know the year, because I went to a convention, I think 2 years ago now.
It was either 2005 or 2015 or 2016 when all, like, a lot of this went down.
So it was 2016 maybe. When I went to a convention and happened upon a Five Nights at Freddy's panel. I didn't stay for the whole panel, but yeah, they were talking about future games coming out and, oh, we don't know, and don't get your hopes up kind of thing.
Well, that's the thing is, after three, this is made by one guy, Scott Cawthon.
Mm-hmm.
One dude, he's done all of this. And if I'm recalling correctly, I didn't double check this, he got the idea for Five Nights at Freddy's because...
He worked at Chuck E. Cheese.
No.
Aw.
Because he couldn't draw these animatronics without them looking creepy.
Oh my god.
He was trying to make something actually, like,
cute.
Innocent.
Yeah.
But he couldn't. He was having a real hard time,
god.
So I guess he just embraced it, and he developed these games.
Well, to be fair to him, to his credit, I don't think there is a way to draw... or create animatronics without them looking creepy.
I don't know if they were animatronics, per se.
Just mascot things. Because, I mean, think about, like, the Chuck E. Cheese mascots and the old McDonald's mascots. Like,
yeah.
Grimace and stuff. If they were walking around in the actual suits, it's still creepy.
No.
Because they don't change.
I give them credit because it can be, like, disheartening to hear, you're not good enough at doing this. But what he did do instead
got
is really good. Like,
real successful.
I don't think I've seen any... Granted, if a game nowadays was to try to make their own animatronic-style thing, it'll get a flood of, you know, oh, copying Five Nights. But he does do it really well. Every single game, he adds new concepts and designs that I think really, really work well with the environment that he's cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm into it. I like it. But yeah, this is one guy, and he's just churning these out.
Sorry.
And after the third game, he was like, I'm done. And people are like, oh, that's a shame.
And then
it was like, never mind. Here's another one. It's called Sister Location, which was taking place. I can't remember the site name, but it was a sister location to Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria.
Yeah.
And that introduced new lore. And, you know, then he released Five Nights at Freddy's World, which was, like, a 8-bit retro RPG using the Five Nights characters.
Okay.
That was actually nothing.
Yeah, I don't...
Didn't establish lore, wasn't secretly creepy, none of that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't imagine, What was it?
Imagine Final Fantasy, like, the first one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't imagine that being very heavy on jump scares.
It was not a scary game, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Then there was, last year, Pizzeria Simulator, which I thought was genius, because it's another Five Nights game disguised as a Pizzeria Simulator. It is technically a simulator game, like, you know, Diner Dash style.
Yeah.
Let's make more tables and then do this and do that and get more money. But then nighttime hits and you gotta play the game.
Ah.
And you can... modify your nights based on what you did in the day. So, like, do you want more money? Let us run some ads. Well, if you do that, you get more money. But now, noisy adverts will pop up in the middle of the night, and you gotta be like, close that before they hear you.
Yeah, woof. That's scary.
And each one got more and more complicated than the last. The first game, like I said, 4 animatronics total. You basically just watch 2 doors. Second game, it introduced, I think, 6 more animatronics. You now had to wind up a music box, check the lights, flash a flashlight, put on a helmet, and also close the side doors when needed. And the gimmick was, each animatronic has a very set pattern you have to follow. When this one shows up, flash your flashlight on it to make it go away. To keep that one from coming after you, keep the music box wound. If this one shows up in the bottom left corner, put your hat on, and then have them walk by and wait. But you better hope that while they're doing that, you don't need to recharge that music box. And it becomes like a very particular do this management, do that. Each one you have to manage.
This is the first game?
I'm referring right now to the second game.
Oh, okay.
Then the third game came around and it actually simplified it. I think it's the third one I'm thinking of. In this case, you're actually in a burned down pizzeria.
Okay.
And there's only one guy coming at you from one doorway.
Okay.
However, you're being haunted by about four different things. And now you also have to manage your air. If you don't manage the air, everything goes dark.
Why is there no air?
Poor ventilation. The ventilation has to be rebooted sometimes or it'll go out.
Okay. Why are you in a burned out pizzeria?
I think you were going to buy it. I don't remember.
And so you spent the night in the burned out, pizzeria.
I can't recall the reason why.
The very spooky, haunted animatronics.
Yes.
I'm a potential buyer. Let me put on my business suit to go spend the night in a burned out, heavily haunted pizzeria.
Only to die.
Because, well, I think in that case, you kind of deserve to.
So, after a point, this game stopped being about being scared and started being about how well can you multitask?
Yeah.
How many things can you manage and keep in mind all at one time? And that's what most recent release, Ultimate Custom Night, is basically all about. This, I didn't think this would happen. No one thought this would happen, and it happened without any warning.
No preamble.
That's another thing Scott does, is he just... Oh, hey, release.
He Beyonce'd that Five Nights at Freddy's.
He Beyonce's every Freddy. Fred Onse. And Ultimate Custom Night was released a week and a half ago, I think. Maybe it was 2 weeks now. And it is basically, we got rid of the lore, and we decided to just give you Custom Night. And Custom Night is, Five Nights at Freddy's, you have to survive 5 days. That is the goal. Each day is harder than the last. If you beat all five, surprise, there's a sixth day. If you somehow beat day six, you unlock the quote-unquote seventh night, which is customizable. You get to choose which people you want showing up and what difficulty.
Right.
And 20 being the hardest mode. That's why in the first game, the absolute hardest difficulty was called 420 mode or 20-20-20. 20-20-20 mode.
Yes.
Because it was all four animatronics. At 20 difficulty.
420.
And...
Do you blaze it?
No.
Do you get to set them on fire?
Ha. Original joke.
No, I meant, like, set them on fire. Because I would burn it down.
In the third game.
I'm talking about this game. With the 420 mode. That's why it's funny.
Technically, the third game has 120 mode.
I'm not talking about the third game.
Are you enjoying committing to this joke this hard?
Listen, I'm saying one thing, and you're saying another thing. It's not even about the joke anymore.
No, let us not talk about the joke. It's a bad joke.
I thought it was a good joke.
I'm sorry. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Welcome to the Brandon Solo Podcast. Welcome back. Here I am with special guest, Justine. Hi, Justine. How are you?
I feel bad about what we just put our listeners through.
So,
I'm sorry, it was all bad.
Ultimate Custom Night, released recently, features 50 different animatronics that you have to deal with.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's too many.
And
I've not checked,
but as far as I'm aware, no one's beaten what they call 50-20 mode yet.
Okay.
And a lot of people who could have aren't trying.
Oh, see, Markiplier?
I'm going to bring that up, okay. Yes. So, when Spoilers. The game came out, 20-20-20-20 mode,
it was beaten. You didn't want to say 420.
It was beaten. All 20 mode was beaten by Markiplier and some other YouTuber I can't recall the name of on the same day. And they were the first ones to do it. And this was amazing because they had, no one had seen it yet, and it's not easy. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. But they had done it, and this is actually what would help. This is part of what made Markiplier so famous. Some people say it's the amnesia games, which is true. They helped. That was a weird word.
They helped.
But Markiplier's Five Nights at Freddy's videos have consistently been the most, like, they are the highest rated one of his. Mm. They made him a, he's considered the king of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Okay.
Self-claimed title, but no one argues it. Because, yeah, he's really good at them. When he beat all...
Wasn't he, like, didn't he go to college for, like, engineering
He
or
was
something?
An engineer, yes.
Yeah!
He dropped out, yeah.
He is Smarticus.
I mean, I guess. I went to college for, what was it, software development and... I can't make much.
Hey, are you going to talk about
I am
the software?
Yes.
Okay.
Later. Right now. So, when Mark...
I didn't go to college for software, and I can't do that.
Now, Markiplier, yeah, being the king of Five Nights at Freddy's, he actually established a rapport with Scott Cawthon.
Oh, cool.
And he would often get these games before they came out so that he could have videos of them done the day they came out. The games.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that apparently when Scott was talking to him, he had said he didn't think all 20 mode could be beaten.
Yeah.
He didn't think it was humanly possible.
Get it together, dear.
And even, yeah, Mark, he's done it with almost all of them except this most recent game. And that's because it's really, really difficult. Just, I try to watch. I can't keep up. It's crazy.
Can Scott make a Freddy's game even Markiplier can't beat?
No. I guess this is an appropriate time to transition into the software.
No, it's not.
It's not?
It's advertisement.
Oh, it is our ad break. Okay. So our ad break's not actually a audio ad break, but it's just a text one. You know, like how Audible or Blue Apron will just have podcasters.
Yeah.
It's one of these.
Okay. Right?
And it's for a job listing.
Okay.
And it's... Freddy's Fazbear's Pizzeria is a wonderful place to establish an exciting career. Have wholesome, non-lethal fun with one of our unique and totally safe animatronics, now seeking for a night guard position. Be empowered by on-the-job training and killer experience that you'll only find at one of our Freddy Fazbear locations. Minimum requirements, you must be at least 18 years of old and able to sign a liability
18
waiver.
18 years of old?
18 years of age. 18 years old, thank
okay.
you, must be able to sign a liability waiver against injury or death, and must be able to work 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. 7 days a week.
Those hours are rough, but I hear that, you know, night shifts pay better just because nobody wants to do them.
Essential job functions include, you are the front line here at Fazbear Incorporated. Your job will be to keep an eye out for anything out of the ordinary within the pizzeria location. The animatronics get a little antsy at night, but don't worry. If they get too close, just close the bulkhead doors installed on either side of your office. Also, we are dedicated to conserving power for a green future, so be careful not to use your pre-allocated power supply.
Sounds like a good job.
Yes, totally a good job.
Other than the risk of death, but hey... Gotta make money somehow.
Right. All of those deaths are in no way related to Fazbear Incorporated or any of its affiliate locations.
I'm sure it was just somebody, you know, malpractice with the use of the machine.
Total freak accident, nothing to do with any of their technology.
Sure. So, you know, if you're in need of some extra cash or something, maybe think about taking up the night shift at Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria.
Speaking of Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria... So, you know how whenever a game gets too popular, people start doing stupid things? That's a yes. That is a sigh of yes. Well, there happens to be two locations in America that have Freddy and Pizzeria in the names.
Oh, no. Oh,
can
no,
you guess
no,
who's
no.
been getting called for the last 5 years?
Oh, no.
To the point where they can't actually reliably take phone orders anymore?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because people would call them wondering if there was some kind of, like, hidden lore secret going on there.
No.
And like, no, that's a business that you're disrupting.
It's an actual, yeah. Oh, I'm so glad no one's trying to burn down or
anything. This is like when 4chan told everyone to call this one McDonald's for grapes. Did you ever hear about that?
I mean, I've heard of similar situations.
4chan, there was a popular post where someone put a McDonald's phone number and said, hey, ask them for white grapes. And sure enough, they got and hundreds of phone calls.
Just let them be.
Right. Right. And I get why people are antsy, because the lore. That's right. We're getting into the lore now.
Okay, but here's... Okay. Yeah. I just want to say this. Mm-hmm. It's like... It's a video game.
It is.
It may be important to you, and you may be very interested in it, but you have to know the lines between when the video game stops and you come back into reality.
Another good example of that is the amount of harassment that, what's his name, Masahiro Sakurai gets for Super Smash Bros. He is the director of Super Smash Bros.
Okay.
So whenever a character is added or not added, yeah. You know who goes complaining? People to him.
And it's not even just video games, because it's in movies. I mean, I'm getting on my soapbox real quick, but like, everyone needs to take a minute.
Leave people alone.
Get your opinions in check. You can talk to your friends about it. Leave the creators alone.
Well, I would even say, go to corporations, maybe. Like, if you don't like what Super Smash Bros. Did, complain to Nintendo or, you know, Namco Bandai, I think, helped on that. Don't complain to the person. Complain to the business. So, where am I? The lore. While this started out as an innocent game, there's a lot of hidden lore behind it. Lore that grew and grew on top of itself with each game. The first is wondering, you know, why are these animatronics attacking you? The in-game excuse is that they think you're an animatronic and they want to shove you in a suit full of, you know, bolts and gears and wires. Mm-hmm. This would later grow to develop to find out that they're specifically targeting you, the Night Guard.
Okay.
They don't know why, but this is like we hit game two and then, you know, more information. We find out that there was a man who apparently killed a bunch of kids by luring them into the back of the pizzeria with a Fazbear costume.
Okay.
And he shoved the bodies into empty costumes.
Okay.
People then theorized these animatronics are haunted by these children, and the man who did it was wearing a purple suit.
Ah, okay. I've heard this bit.
Yeah, the purple guy. The suit was then presumed to be... what was it called? Freddy Fazbear outfit. The you know, uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming after you, the Night Guard. This is my... I figured this one out, by the way. Not the internet. Screw y'all. I figured this one out.
I remember you talking about this.
They're coming after you because you're in a purple suit. You're wearing the same outfit that the murderer was.
Yeah.
And they think you're him, so they came after you. And of course, that kind of got put on the wayside for bigger concepts. Ended up being the thing where this kid was bullied, and... these bullies put this kid's head in the mouth of an animatronic, which bit them. And then that kid haunted the marionette doll, and the marionette doll is like this messiah for the other murdered children. So, like, the marionette doll was apparently behind this the whole time. And then sister locations came out, and apparently there was a scientific experiment where a guy was actually trying to put a children's soul in a mechanical entity.
Okay.
And then, you know, it kind of took off even more from there. Beyond that, I can't tell what's going on.
Yeah.
I do know, however, in the last one, Ultimate Custom Night, so often you'll get, like, voice clips if you fail to certain characters that are basically saying, you're here forever, we'll never let you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So Ultimate Custom Night is theorized to be... what's it called? You know that guy that got his liver picked out forever?
Yeah.
I think, was that Prometheus?
Possibly.
It's just one of those, like, you're, here is your, you know.
Purgatory? Hell? Yeah, your own little.
This is your own personal hell that you have to live with forever. Which makes me believe that in this last game you play as a murderer in this. And that makes sense. Everything, you know, coming after him at the same time, that doing it again and again. Because in Ultimate Custom Night, there isn't 7 days.
Yeah.
There's one day. The gimmick is you try to get more, quote-unquote, points by having more robots active at a time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where the lore goes, and it's rough to follow beyond that. And, like, there's more information there if you want to dig deep enough. The fourth game, I remember now, you actually play as the child who got put in the animatronic's mouth.
Oh, my.
Because in the fourth game, you're not in a pizzeria. You're in your bedroom. And you're being attacked by nightmares because you have night terrors.
Okay.
So you're this kid sitting in bed, and there's no camera feed for you to check. You got to go by sound and while, and you, like, use your little child feet to run to the door. Like, you could flash down the cell, or you could hold the door closed. You have to check your closet and whatnot. And, like, it'll do the thing, like, you go and you check your closet, right? You turn on your flashlight, boom, scary animatronic. And you go, oh my god. But then when you check it again, there's nothing but a doll.
Okay.
And that's, you know, so this is this kid just having nightmares about these creatures. And then you find out that apparently, yeah, this kid was the one who was bullied and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. I remember. I'm trying to remember all of these games.
Okay.
The fourth one was you were a child. Only one that didn't take place in a pizzeria of some kind. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your project?
Sure. Okay. So, when Markiplier was playing the Ultimate Custom Night game, this is where I had learned that apparently Scott Gawson said he didn't think people could beat it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't think it was humanly possible. And I thought, yeah, this isn't humanly possible. So what if a human isn't the one playing? What if I made a robot to play this game for me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had already developed this bot that kind of like scanned your monitor and then reacted accordingly by assuming control of your mouse and keyboard. So I already had the know-how of making a piece of software to take over your mouse and keyboard and see your screen. So the next step was, well, let's make it play video games. And I thought, well, let's do Five Nights at Freddy's. And I started with the first game. I want to do Custom Night because, yeah, no one's beaten it. And I want to see if I can make a robot that beat it. But one step at a time. I went with the simplest game, the first one. And yeah, I love it because I just, have been near me while I've done this whole thing. Right now, it can only handle Bonnie, the purple rabbit. Rabbit? I think it's a rabbit.
Well, that would make, Bonnie would make sense if it was a bunny.
It is a guy, though.
Oh.
Which, another neat fact, apparently when developing Five Nights at Freddy's, Bonnie gave Scott Cawson the most nightmares. Because he had nightmares developing this game, understandably
so. That's terrible.
And apparently the one that would give him the most strife was Bonnie.
Okay.
So, neat. And right now, yeah, I've made this bot, and what it does is it looks at a very particular pixel on screen. It says, what color are you? If you're this color, well, then Bonnie's in the door. If it's this color, I accidentally left the door open. And, like, if this color, do this. And that's what it does. It just kind of rapidly checks everything around it and reacts. It will click on the light, and then within, I think I have it set to 100 milliseconds, so 1/10 of a second, it will identify if Bonnie has shown up in the doorway. And of course, if that's the case, it will 1/10 of a second later close the door.
Very quickly.
It's able to do this much faster than a person could.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's problematic because not everything on screen is exactly the number it should be. So sometimes it has a hard time telling what's on screen.
Yeah.
There's limitations, of course, making sure everything operates. I'm trying to emulate a human mind.
Right.
But it works. It does. Just this morning, I recorded a video of it, of this robot beating Bonnie at its hardest difficulty. And it succeeded. It did.
It's a good little robot.
I'm going to make a post on it on my website with more details about this, so...
Are you going to put up the video?
Yeah, the video is... Because I need proof. That's what the video is for.
So you guys can watch that video and
check out
a robot beat Bonnie. Robot beat a robot.
Who is the ultimate robot?
Robot fight!
I think after Bonnie, I'm going to do Freddy. Because Freddy also shows up in the left doorway.
Okay.
After that, it will be Chica, because she shows up in the right. The hardest one will be Foxy.
On the screen.
Because here's how Foxy works, right? After a point in time, Foxy will leave his stage. He will then sprint to your door, and he'll pop in. If you look at the hallway on the left side, you'll see him sprint. Problem is, if you see that, you're already too late. So what you basically have to do is close the door first, then look down the hallway.
Okay.
And that's the trick you have to do is you have to look at his stage. If you see that he's gone, close your camera, close the door, then look down the hallway on the camera. You'll see him sprint, then you'll just hear him punk against the door.
Okay.
That one's trickier
that's
to figure
tough,
out,
yeah.
Like for a robot to do.
Yeah.
Because there's multiple steps going on. And of course, I need to make this all happen fast enough to also manage the other two.
Right.
We'll see how it goes. I'm excited. It'll be updated in four parts, one each animatronic.
Right. Is it time for housekeeping, or do you have more?
You know, I've hit more or less... Oh, no, there was one more. There was a few more things. So, there's more than just games that this has been adapted to. There's actually three novels.
Oh, my.
Written by Scott and some other person I can't remember the name of. There's a movie in development by Warner Brothers Studios.
Oh, Warner Brothers?
They announced it back in 2005. It's being made by the same people...
2015?
15. It is being made by the same people who did Paranormal Activity.
Oh, okay. And I remember everyone was nuts for those
last
movies.
I heard of was last year when Scott posted a picture of the set.
Woof.
So apparently it's still happening. I kind of really like
this. Do you think it's going to be in a, you know, mockumentary-style Paranormal Activity movie, or is it going to be like a movie?
I hope it's a movie, because I'm a sucker for a good horror movie. And,
yeah.
Like, something I'm already so familiar with, I think I'm going to like this no matter what it ends up being, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's bad, I think I'm going to have a good time. I hope it happens.
Okay.
In Las Vegas, you could experience it. There was, like, one of those walk-through
really?
Itself. Yeah. A walk-through horror experience of...
Okay.
I don't know if it's still going. I don't think it is.
I'll have to check on that.
Last bit of thing I want to talk about is the music.
Yes.
So there's an artist by the name of The Living Tombstone.
Oh, yes.
I'm a big fan of his work. I have been for a while. I was a fan of... Not hipster time. I was a fan of The Living Tombstone before the Five Nights at Freddy's songs.
Okay. I didn't even know he did Five Nights at Freddy's songs.
They are now what he's most well known for.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when the first game came out, sure enough, he made a song about it. And it's a catchy tune. Really good. I like it. He's got a unique style. I think
His
style of music fits the feeling of the game really well.
It's very bouncy.
Then the second game came out, and he made a song about that, this time from the perspective of the mother who lost their child.
Oh, okay.
It was a mother of one of the children who got lured into the back.
Yeah.
Then the third game came out. Then the third, he made a third song. My personal favorite. It's called Die in a Fire.
Oh.
And the chorus of it goes, I hope you die in a fire.
And okay.
The
a little
idea...
on the nose.
I'm recalling a bit more lore. I think the murderer guy, I think at one point he came back to the facility, burned it down, and destroyed all of the animatronics with an axe.
Okay.
And you're like looking at the ruined state of things.
That's terrifying.
And the song is, from the guy's perspective, is he's going around destroying all of the animatronics because they've been haunting him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I like it. It's a very angry tune. It's just like, I hate you so much. I hope you die in a fire. Then I think they made a fourth song. I can't quite recall. Yeah, he made one, I think, for Four and for Sister Location, but I think it stopped there.
Okay.
And that was a problem because this was another instance of, hey, y'all, if he doesn't do a thing you wanted, leave him be.
Leave him alone. Yeah, it's not where he's at right now.
He has this running joke of, you know, oh, I'm going to make this cool song about something else, and every comment is going to be, where's Five Nights at Freddy's 9?
Yeah.
Like, dog, let me have my creative freedom.
Yeah. You can't make them do something.
Yeah, just let artists do their thing.
It can only, like, that's
They're
the thing.
They're not your servants.
There's millions of people who can enjoy a thing, and only one person who's making the thing. They can't appeal to every million person out there.
Yeah, right. Well, speaking of every million person out there, I want to do a small call to arms, if you will.
Okay. I'm concerned.
Not against anyone.
Okay.
I've already mentioned that I'm making this Five Nights at Freddy's bot, which I'm calling the animatronic, by the way, because I think that's fun.
Okay.
If you or someone you know has what I call a mastery over Five Nights at Freddy's, I mean, you can tell me the exact strategies needed to beat these games, let me know. Because I'm having a... Because in order for me to make this bot, I need to know exactly how these
games
operate.
Yeah.
I need to know how often do I need to check the Foxy camera, you know, so I know what to set my bot to check it with. And this is hard for me to figure out alone. So if y'all know somebody or you are that guy, hit me up at _lizardrock.com, Brandon@thelizardrock.com. Just contact me. Help a brother out.
Okay.
Now we can do housekeeping. Okay. I said everything I wanted to say. Is there any more you wanted to add?
No.
Okay. So, housekeeping. If you like this, please leave a review on...
And, yeah, do that, what he just said.
Please. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Can I mention one more thing?
One more. You get one more.
You know why I have this? I have this. The doll she's talking about is a Freddy Fazbear doll. Do you know why I have it?
Why do you have it?
Because the first four, five games, I live streamed them as charity events.
Yeah.
And this was supposed to be a giveaway item for if I hit $500, which I didn't hit.
Okay.
Unfortunately. So I end up just keeping the doll.
Aww.
Right? But yeah, I stopped doing that because charity live streams are kind of a hassle. They're difficult.
I saw another word on your lips there.
There was another. Because, like, you can either use a service that people can go through, and people like that because then you can, you know, your donation's actually going to the place.
Yeah.
But they take a cut. Yeah. And I didn't like that. So I don't want to do those. But then you're left with the idea of, hey, can you trust me to donate the money you've sent? And, like, it's this weird gray area. I don't like it. But yeah, that's why I have him. So.
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Yes. Review us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. That helps us get seen by people. Seriously, it helps us. If you want us to talk to people and words, and I don't know where it's going with this sentence, I just really want y'all to review us on iTunes.
Yeah. I think you're losing it a little. We need to wrap this up.
Yeah, it's been a long day. I've been lethargic all morning. Follow us on Twitter, @CozyCoopPodcast. Not only do I update when the podcast goes live, but I post stupid things in the meantime. We are also on Facebook under the same name, or if you'd like to send us an email instead, you can do that at CozyCoop@thelizardrock.com.
Business casual emails, please.
Yes, please.
If you like the news at the beginning, you can go visit thelizardrock.com, as we mentioned previously in this episode, and that is where Brandon posts all the news. Next week's episode...
Wait. We forgot to tell people will be announced in a minute. If you want to suggest a game that we talk about, if you want to give input on the next game we're going to talk about, or you just want to leave some kind of comment, tell me your favorite animatronic, I guess.
I'd also say you should probably let us know in that feedback, you know, either asking us to do a game or giving comments on a game, if you want us to mention your name or username or whatever. Because
that's true.
I know some people prefer to remain anonymous.
That's true. If you use an alias, we'll probably just call you that.
Yeah.
But like, if you use a name, give us a warning.
Let us know. We try not to do names too much on the podcast.
Because I have a few friends that prefer the anonymity.
Yeah. The anonymity. So, is there Five Nights at Freddy's on Humble Bundle?
I don't know. But
if there is, there will be a link posted in the description for this podcast.
They're all cheap. I mean, Ultimate Night's free. Like,
true.
A number of these games are even free. If they do cost anything, I mean, they have mobile versions too, by the way.
Okay.
Turns out it translates really effectively.
I imagine it does. It's a lot of clicking.
Because it's only clicking. Yeah. Well, the first game's few. But they're very cheap if you want to get them.
We're linked to Humble Bundle. Just a reminder.
Check that out.
Next week's episode is going to be Metroid. That's it for us today. Cozy up with us next week on The Cozy Co-op.
Outro music. You see, the blah is because Metroid is a game where you can identify the soundtrack from one note.
Okay.
And it's just that familiar. Are you walking away? Oh, I'm back. Okay.